Praise be Jesus and Mary. The readings this Sunday have so much to teach us, we really don't know where to begin. So I guess we'll just begin with the first reading, the book of Sirach, formerly known as the book of Ecclesiasticus. And this book of Sirach really would be a great book to take in hand for one's daily reading and meditation, right? This is one of the books of wisdom that are in the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit has so much to teach us on how to live wisely in this world. And so the first reading starts off, "If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you." And we see in this first line the affirmation of our free will and that we can choose to keep and observe the commandments if we want to. That is, it's up to us. Okay, God gives us all of the sufficient grace to observe the commandments and to avoid all mortal sins. And so, it's our choice. It's up to us. We know the commandments are not impossible to observe, as some people want to say. God does not command anything impossible. And so if we're not observing the commandments, or we feel that they are impossible, then there's something wrong. Okay, there's something lacking on our part. Now we see in the gospel, our Lord says that if we want to be saved, if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven, our righteousness must surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. Right? They were known for their perfect external observance of the law. But we see in everything that follows in today's gospel, our Lord is saying, yes, external observance is necessary, but internal observance, purity, holiness is also necessary. Right? It's possible to commit a serious mortal sin internally with no exterior act. Right? If we allow anger to take hold of us to the point where we willingly hate someone, that is a mortal sin. Okay, and you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven with that on your soul. Or, as our Lord talks about, we'll just read it. "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Oh my goodness. Now think about what's going on in the world. What's going on through means of the internet, all the impurity, all the impure desires and images being cultivated there. So many men trapped and really knowing by experience what it means to be slaves of sin. Right? There may not be any exterior action, although oftentimes there is, but there may not be. Our Lord is saying, if you look at a woman and have lust, desire for her in your heart. Now, we're not talking about acknowledging beauty. Okay, there's nothing wrong with recognizing a woman as beautiful, but it's when you go beyond that. Okay, and start desiring in your heart that which is not licit, and willingly cultivating that for the sake of deriving pleasure. And so we need to mortify our eyes. Now, look at what our Lord says directly after this part that deals with purity of one's heart. He says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. All right, now our Lord here, he's not advocating self-mutilation. Right? That is not lawful. But what our Lord is saying, that anything that causes us to sin, anything that for us is an occasion of sin, right? The near occasions of sin, no matter how precious it is, right? Our eyes, the ability to see, our hands, how useful they are. Our Lord is saying, no matter how valuable and useful the thing is. Now, not only valuable and useful, but no matter how painful it is to get rid of this occasion of sin, right? Plucking out your eye, cutting off your hand, that would cause a lot of pain. So our Lord is saying, no matter how valuable this thing is, no matter how painful it is for you to remove this occasion of sin, you better get rid of it. Because it's better for you to lose this valuable thing. It's better for you to undergo this temporal suffering than to be thrown into Gehenna. And that means, if the internet is an occasion of sin for you, put a filter on your computer and mortify yourself. Or, if necessary, throw it away. Throw it right out the window. It's better to get to heaven without your computer, okay, than to go to hell with one. So we need to do everything in our power to avoid the occasions of sin and whatever leads us to sin. Right, just like the person who struggles with alcohol, don't keep it in your home. Don't even go there. We need to keep these things far away from us. And again, even if it requires great sacrifice, we must do it. Now, we see also in the first reading how it's necessary that we be pure interiorly and really try to cultivate purity of heart, purity of intentions, because God sees everything. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. God sees everything, even the secret movements of our hearts. He understands man's every deed, including thoughts. All right. Now, it's the civil law that punishes external wrongdoing, right? But they don't punish bad intentions or bad desires or bad thoughts. But God does make us responsible for these things, all right? And it is really our free will and the use of our free will that is the criterion of goodness and wickedness, of virtue and vice. Our Lord says, those things that come from the heart are what defile man, if they be evil. So it definitely takes an effort, a striving to obtain this purity. We have all of the means necessary, prayer, daily prayer, the sacraments, especially confession, to purify our souls, frequent confession, the worthy reception of the Holy Eucharist, and then also our own personal mortifications, perhaps a fast, a day of fasting every now and then, or at least every day we can make little sacrifices with regard to food. Okay, not always having everything that we prefer. Okay, all of these are means to obtain interior purity, okay, purity of heart and intentions. And now the psalm promises us all of the blessings that we will receive, okay, if we arrive at this purity. Blessed are they who follow the law of the Lord. Right? We will already begin to experience in this world the blessedness of heaven. God will reward our generosity in observing his commandments, in remaining pure of heart, in doing all of the things necessary for this. He will reward our generosity with blessedness already in this life. And then, when we think about what awaits us in the life to come, look at what the second reading says. It says, "We speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory." Right? This is the salvation in Christ, this mystery of the incarnation and redemption that was hidden throughout the ages in order to bring us to union with God and to glory in heaven. It goes on to say, "What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, God has prepared for those who love him." All right? So if we strive to love God with all of our strength, and we are deemed worthy of the eternal crown, we have no idea what awaits us. We can't even imagine what heaven is like, what it's like to see God face to face, these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one God, who have created the whole universe and who order all things sweetly. We are going to see God face to face. The veil of faith will be removed. We have no idea what that is like. It's similar to a person who is born blind into this world, right? A person born blind can have some idea of what certain objects look like by using the sense of touch. But they have absolutely no concept of color. You can't describe green or blue and these things. So they have no concept of color. Now think about if by a miracle this person born blind receives the gift of sight. What a marvel to see the blue sky, you know, decorated with the white clouds, or the green fields and the beautiful colors of the flowers. This would all be amazing and a cause for immense joy in that blind person, something which they could not even have imagined before. Okay, this is similar to what it will be like for the soul who enters heaven. Hasn't even imagined, hasn't even come into his mind. And if he had known, oh, those sacrifices required to avoid sin or to practice virtue, how little was required of me to gain the vision of God. This fullness of joy, this fullness of peace, which will never end. What would I not have done to obtain heaven? And so you see, brothers and sisters, we are here in this world for a very, very short time. So, as the scripture says, as Saint Francis exhorted his brothers, while we have time, let us do good. Let us love God with all of our hearts, minds, souls, and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Fructum ventris Christus.